Hello, Radio Land. This is WCOM LP Chapel Hill 103.5, Chapel Hill and Carrboro. Support for WCOM comes from the Cary Playwrights Forum. It's 9 o'clock on a Tuesday night, so it must be time for the Cary Playwrights Forum Radio Hour. I'm your host, Christian O'Neill. If you enjoyed this show, or any show on 103.5, you can support us by contributing safe, tax-deductible donations to WCOM online at www.wcomfm.org. Do you have a fantastic idea for radio play? The Cary Playwrights Forum is producing its first ever radio play contest. Radio plays are not limited in the way stage plays are. Five voice actors can portray hundreds of characters. Creative sound effects can allow the audience to build worlds in their minds. Immersive genres like fantasy, horror, and science fiction can all take advantage of the audience's boundless imaginations. The Cary Playwrights Forum is accepting submissions until December 7th. Visit the submissions website at caryplaywrightsforum.com for more details. And if you enjoy radio plays, you could be a fan of Cary Player's latest production, a 1940s radio Christmas carol. The story concerns the Feddington Players, a troupe of radio performers who are trying to make it through an eventful broadcast of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol on the Christmas Eve of 1943. Calling me right now is Sodom, the creative team behind the Cary Players production of a 1940s radio hour that's coming soon, opening up in early December. If you could introduce yourselves and introduce to the listening audience your roles in the upcoming production.
Carol Kelly, producer.
I'm Randy Jordan, directing.
Hi, I'm Dan Marchenko. I am playing the role of William St. Clair.
And I'm Abby Jordan. I'm stage managing.
Awesome. Well, first of all, to everyone on the phone, welcome to the CPF Radio Hour. Thank you for calling in.
Thanks for having us.
So, Randy, you are yourself a veteran of the radio, is that correct?
That's right. About 40 years or a little more spent in radio.
Can you explain to us, this is a live radio play. What makes it a live radio play? Can you explain that for us?
Well, let me explain that 1940s Radio Christmas Carol is a little bit unique. It seems like this time of year, Christian, that there are a lot of radio plays done. That is where there's not a lot of blocking, but actors are acting as though they're doing a radio show. In this play, it's a bit unique in that it is actually a play that has a live radio show in it. The Feddington Players are the group that's doing the radio show, and we see them come together and come to work, and they have moved into a studio. But what they're really there to do for this night only is their presentation of Dickens' A Christmas Carol. And so it has that live radio show element to it, where they will be acting parts of Bob Cratchit and Scrooge and Marley and the Ghost and all those classic characters. And so that will be done. And there will also be live sound effects, because in the 40s there weren't so many recorded sound effects. You had to have what was called a Foley artist. And the Foley guys made all the sound effects, which, by the way, they still do in motion pictures today.
And my understanding is that the characters are not just playing the Dickens characters, they're characters in their own right with relationships to each other.
That's correct. In this case, there is a play that the radio play is just a part of. So, for instance, Dan plays Scrooge in the radio play, but he plays a character, a guest star, if you will, as an old stage actor who is named William St. Clair. Maybe he can flesh that out for you.
Yeah, so like the other characters in the show, I have a character that I play. That's my, I guess you can call it your real character, and then you play the whatever characters the scripts call for. Now, we're not just doing A Christmas Carol. They're also doing advertisements and little skits like that as commercial breaks for A Christmas Carol. And so all of these characters take on these different personas throughout the show. My character, being an old stage actor who's done Broadway and a film, I come in kind of as a bit of a pompous character who thinks he's above all this radio stuff. But I've never done radio before, so I really don't know how it works. And so that adds some elements of unpredictability throughout the radio performance, and that the characters, everybody on stage doesn't know exactly what I'm going to do next, and so it sort of adds some interest to it. In addition to other things that happen throughout the night, you know, maybe there's a power failure, there's some other goofing off by some of the cast members, and other sort of things. So it makes for an unpredictable presentation of Charles Dickens' Christmas Carol, probably not the Dickens Christmas Carol everybody's used to.
And the other fun thing about all of these characters with, you know, multifaceted characters within the show is they're each doing spots. They're each doing commercials that you would hear on the radio. So not only do you have all of the Fettington players and then their roles within the Dickens play, but you have each of their little characters as they do radio commercials for local businesses. So that's a lot of fun. You'll get to see a wide variety, or hear rather, a wide variety of voice work from our really talented cast. I'm excited for this.
And Dan, how has it been as an actor, since you're the actor on the call? Is this what kind of challenges have you faced with this particular production?
It's I think each of the roles bring their own challenges. I don't want to go into detail on some of the challenges we've had with this production, but what's fun about this, we actually have had some challenges in production, and just some folks have had to step down from the show, and I think what it's done was kind of unique, is we've had to improvise a little bit through the rehearsal process and the production process, which goes right along with what we're doing on stage, improvising as we go. So it's an interesting script to play two characters and have to go from one to the other, and sometimes in mid sentence you're switching from one character to another, either intentionally or unintentionally, and so that means you got to change your accent sometimes from one to the next. I mean, Bruce Ackerman, who plays Charlie, has to do a German accent, a Jewish accent, a New York accent, and whatever, and an English accent. So he's got to switch around. It's fun, and it's interesting, and it's a challenge.
We have one actress who has to do five children's voices, one right on top of the other, but each distinctly different. So live radio in those days was really required some amazing talent, and this particular play that has a live radio show in it also requires some amazing talent.
Fortunately, we're blessed with that talent. Yeah,
because the cast you have is pretty sizable. It's 12 Fettington players, and then there's the boutonnieres, and then you have a onstage piano player and organ player also.
That's right. If you don't mind, Christian, I'll just run down here. Of course, we've got Dan Marchenko playing William St. Clair and Scrooge in the radio play. He delivers deep emotion as St. Clair and some great comedy as Scrooge. Chris McKittrick, another Terry Player's favorite, is doing Clifton, the fearless leader and announcer of the Fettington players. Mark Anderson is playing Fritz, and a whole stable of radio characters. He does, I think, altogether about seven of them. And he's also plays a Bogart kind of detective named Rick Roscoe, Man with No Tomorrow. We have Bruce Ackerman as the funny man Charlie, and all those voices that Dan mentioned. We have Charles Robson as the Foley artist and the staff good guy Buzz. Nicola Leffler, the engineer and guardian of the phones. Chelsea Winstead is a featured singer, and all the radio gals that are funny. Character's name is Margie. Rhonda Lemon is Rosie the Riveter type, Sally, and a master voice of animals and kids. And Carrie Player's newcomers, including Jaswant Calavagata, is concierge Harold. Micah Jordan is seen as a radio talent, Jackie. And Kathleen Jacob as the lovely actress and star singer, Judith. And then, of course, we have three boutonnieres. Shannon Plummer White, Kate Torgerson, and Melly Payne. They are an Andrews Sisters type trio. And we have, of course, Craig Johnson playing our musical director for the play, and also the musical director in the radio show, who's known as Toots.
Sounds like there's a lot of music going on, but it's not just a musical.
Yeah, it's I got in a little bit of trouble when we were before auditions because I kept on telling people to come out for this musical, and Randy was like, "It's not a musical; it's a play with music." And the reason he makes that distinction is because, in classical terms, the music does not move the plot along. So it is a play with music, but there's a lot of really fantastic music. There's some really unique arrangements of classic carols that everyone will recognize. And then there's also some original tunes that are done in the 1940s style, really tight harmonies, really beautiful work. Craig has really done an amazing job. And the cast, I am amazed at their ear and their quickness in picking this music up. I can tell you it is tricky music. For the understatement of the century, and they sound phenomenal. So again, I'm really excited about it.
The music has that nostalgic 40s period sound, and even the carols are arranged uniquely. And Craig has chosen to take those carols for the most part a cappella, so those lovely tight 40s harmonies stand out clear. And so anyone who likes music will like this play, even though it's not technically a musical, but it has 12 songs in it. We've got a couple of very funny songs. We got one called the Coconut Christmas, and that should get people laughing very well. And there's a tribute to Newark, New Jersey. That's pretty funny as well.
There's a great flirtatious song about a cute little elf. And then there's a ballad near the end that's bound to bring out some emotion for folks. So, I mean, you've got everything.
Yeah, it sounds like you have a lot of music, you have a lot of comedy and a lot of drama going on with Dickens and some of the character relationships. It sounds like this play has a lot that you would need in a traditional holiday show.
Well, it is a wonderful holiday show, and pardon me if you got... But jump in here, guys, or I'll run over you. I just happen to be that way on radio. But it is a wonderful time, a wonderful play for the period. It takes you back to remember and reflect on the time when the world was at war and Americans were sacrificing. The future was uncertain, but hopes were high. It takes you to the highest hilarities and the deepest human emotions involving loss and separation. It really is, Christian, a great blend of holiday cheer that's warm and touching and funny and topped with those great 40s harmonies. I like to say it's all served up in a music mug that's more soothing to the chaos we live in and in our times than a warm cup of Ovaltine was at bedtime back then.
And for those who are old enough to remember a lot of the old radio personalities, I at least my understanding with Fritz is that there's, particularly with his character, a lot of references to old radio personalities. There's Groucho Marx references, and there's, I don't remember the actor from the Jack Benny show.
Fred Allen.
There's a lot of almost throwaway jokes. But they're in there for people who can recognize them. And even if, I would say, even if you know the Looney Tunes, you can pick up a lot of what is carried over thanks to Looney Tunes and some of the other.
Definitely. I was tempted to ask for a glossary in the program. I never did, but it'll be a great shot of nostalgia for those who are old enough to remember, and it'll be a great reason for the young ones to fire up their Google machine after the show to find all the jokes why did my mom laugh at that one? I guess I got to look that one up. So it'll be fun to see who gets what and who has to explain what to others. But it made me do some research and work when I first got the script to figure out some of the references, and they're funny. They're funny. There we go.
So to everyone listening, you have to see the show twice to get everything.
Yes, I like the way your mind works.
We do want to tip our hat to crew in this show. We have, of course, Bob Grannon building a wonderful set for the show, and Cary Player sets are always gorgeous. And the Cary Arts Center is a great place to see a play, particularly with a great setting like this one. And the studio, the audience will actually become our studio audience for the radio players in this case. We have a great group of costumers and lighting folks, and costumes for this show, of course, are going to try to get as close to period as we can.
Emily Johns has done a beautiful job with our costumes.
And I think Michael Weffler doing lights. We've had good help from props, but we're not going to give that guy any glory here tonight. I think his first name might be it might be somebody we know that we're talking to. But anyway, we've had some great help there, and it's going to be, again, a collaborative effort between cast and crew to make a wonderful Christmas experience at Cary Players.
Just want to throw in, since we mentioned costumes earlier, I'm just going to throw in that we also have a new designer working with us for hair and makeup named Zuri Blair. I know that she's done a little bit of theater work elsewhere in the area, and we're excited to have her join Cary Players for this production.
And Dan, you've been around with Cary Players for a while, right?
yeah, I've been around since the beginning. So I hate to admit this when I'm in a show, but I'm actually the founder of Cary Players. That had no bearing on me getting the role. I make very clear that we don't play favorites here. It just so happened that I fit the part Randy was looking for. So, but I will say that Cary Players has a very long tradition of doing holiday shows. We've done them since 2003 or 2004. I have to remember my data now, but we've always done a holiday show, and we've done things like A Christmas Story. We've done It's a Wonderful Life, both the radio play version and the stage version. We've done The Best Christmas Pageant Ever. We've done Dashing Through the Snow. This is our first time doing this particular show, and we decided to do it because it just was something unique, something we haven't done. Just the way that the whole play is structured, the range of emotions that it brings, it'll make you laugh, it'll make you cry, and everything in between. So I'm just glad that we can bring another great holiday show to Cary. It's always been a real joy for our group to get their holiday season kicked off at the beginning of every December, which is what we're doing again this year.
In addition to the great show that we're going to present, we're fortunate to have folks who are going to come and entertain pre-show. We have three choruses, a guitarist who sings, and a singer and a drummer that are going to come up. So one each night, lots of pre-show entertainment as well.
And Carol, you are the producer on the show, correct?
I am.
How has the experience been for you for this show? Is this your first production as a producer?
No, it's actually not. I've done it before, and it's always fun. It's always interesting, and it's that's why I have gray hair. So.
Carol does a great job. She's very thorough. Doesn't miss a thing.
I don't think we've mentioned this. Show opens on Friday, November 30th. And also runs that Friday, December 1st, and Saturday the 2nd, and Monday the 3rd at 7:30. And then there are two matinees on Saturday and Sunday at 3 o'clock.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Now
he might have got a date wrong in there once or twice. But
anyway,
he got the gist of it.
It's November 30th to December 3rd.
One weekend only.
Yeah, but all tightly packed. There's, six shows?
Five shows in 4 days.
Five shows in 4 days, okay. And tickets. Tickets are available on caryplayers.org. Is that correct?
Yes, correct.
Or at the box office at the Cary Theater, or at the Arts Center box office on Mondays.
And performances at the Cary Arts Center.
They all are, yes.
Christian, if folks haven't been to the Cary Arts Center yet to see a show, it's a beautiful theater that the town of Cary put together. They renovated the old Cary Elementary School and turned it into this nice art center. If you haven't been to a show here, there's a nice 400-seat theater inside the Cary Arts Center. Most people don't even know it's there because there's no sign outside that says there's one in there. But I'm telling you that it's there. I promise you. And come on in and see a great show. Kick off your holidays. It's really a beautiful place to come get entertained for a couple hours.
And everybody likes opening night because you get cake.
Like, as Dan was saying, the Cary Arts Center is a very unique space. They like to keep their history on its sleeve. You can walk around, you can see where all the old lockers are. They have portraits of some of the students that used to go there. And there's a lot of history, and they keep it posted. It's a very interesting building to go through.
It is.
Yeah, we actually used to do shows in here before they renovated it. As Cary Players, when we were a nomadic group and didn't have a theater to call home, we would do shows in what used to be their old media center or their library from the old elementary school that was here. We somehow converted that into a theater space, and that is actually the very same room that they tore up and built this new 400-seat theater. So it has a lot of nostalgia for us as a theater group. We've been doing stuff in this building for a long time, and we've seen the changes that it's gone through and the changes that it's done for downtown Cary.
It's really a state-of-the-art facility. All of the sound and lighting are, I would say, probably among the best equipment in the city or in the region. I mean, it is just phenomenal to work with, and they're very generous and flexible with their rehearsal time. I've loved working every production I've gotten to do with Cary Players and Cary Arts Center. They're great partners for Cary Players.
And if you're in the area of the Cary Arts Center, I might say you ought to drop by and see what's available here, because there are always good exhibits here, painting and sculpture and lots of things. But there's all kinds of classes ranging from music and dance to theater, to pottery, so there's all kinds of ways to learn and do arts. It truly is a wonderful resource as an arts center. And I know we're talking specifically about Cary Players and weren't asked for that plug, but it's just such a great resource to the town of Cary.
Going back to the Radio Christmas Carol, it's a very interesting script, Randy. How did you come across it? For Cary Players, did you suggest the script to them, or how did you come to direct this show?
I did. They contacted me sometime in the summer, and of course, generally they're looking to do a Christmas story because that's been a tradition for them. But the rights for a Christmas story are sometimes hard to get a hold of, and there's a couple other shows that they've done more than once. They came to me and asked me to consider directing, and asked me about one particular show. And I liked that show, but I had a couple others in mind. This one that I knew of from last year, and another one that was a kind of a Sherlock Holmes takeoff on the Christmas Carol. And so I sent them the scripts and said, please read them. I think you'll find this one in particular to be both touching enough and funny enough. And so sure enough, they read it and got back to me and said, let's give this one a whirl. And it is a very unique piece. Now, you know, Christian, there was a predecessor to this show. Sometimes they call this one a sequel. There was a very popular musical that many community theaters have done. I don't think you guys have done it, have you, Dan? But a lot of community theaters have done the 1940s Radio Hour, which features 40s music and that kind of thing.
I think it has even Clifton in a couple of the characters.
Yeah. And then some years back, the author, people kept pressing him for a sequel, so he decided to do one based around the Christmas season. And he set out to write, much like he did that one, which is a traditional musical, a musical. But he got sick in the creative process and had to lay it down. And so then it morphed into more of a play. And then when he got well again, it came back with some of the music to add to it. So it has an interesting history. And anyway, I found out about it a year ago and really loved being associated with it and working with it. And I was so happy that the Cary Players selection committee thought it was a good piece as well. And again, it's just almost the perfect holiday blend. As Dan said, there'll be people in tears and there'll be people laughing wildly because it's got all of it.
Yeah, I looked up the 1940s Radio Hour. I think it was on Broadway, had a Broadway run, and
yeah.
I want to say the 70s. I don't know if that's correct. The sequel is fairly new.
Yes.
No, I think the fact that it is new, it's a fresh take on an old classic. And so it's, you know, a lot of people in this region see A Christmas Carol every year. This is just something a little different. Not your daddy's Dickens, right? So it's, it'll, I think that they'll find it to be pretty entertaining if we do our jobs right. And that's what we're working on, right? He's got us. Yep. He's drilling us.
And Christian, I will say that it's, you know, A Christmas Carol, when you look at Scrooge and his transformation, is a story of redemption. And so we've got that aspect in this show. And there's also a theme of redemption and hope for tomorrow, coming out of the pathos of wartime, that really, you know, is just a nice blend. And, you know, you would think blending laughter and that pathos of wartime together would be, you know, not a good mix. But it turns out it's almost the perfect mix because we all come, you know, out of the holiday season with, you know, looking with goodwill toward our fellow man. You know, looking at love in a different way and having hope for what's beyond. You know, the first Christmas story was one of hope and redemption, and this one is too. And the Christmas Carol was as well. So this play does a good job of delivering that perfect blend.
Yeah, it's that kind of blend that I think makes holiday shows so special. It's why I enjoy watching Christmas specials every year, is to get that warm and fuzzy feeling on the inside.
That's right.
And Dan, and Dan brings up a good point. Even if you're saying, well, I don't know about A Christmas Carol, the A Christmas Carol story is only it's only a fraction of what is going on. There's lots of different things to take away from this play. It's not just a straight retelling of A Christmas
Carol.
Right. There's so much involved with it.
Yeah, one of the most intriguing parts for me is my character, who is a, you know, I play a seasoned veteran actor who's maybe a little down on his luck, or his career's coming to an end. So
why else would he do radio?
He takes his radio gig, right? But he feels like he's a little bit above it. But one of the interesting things about the character is the cast, the rest of the players find out before I arrive that my son has been killed in the war. And but when I arrive, I don't act like my son is dead. In fact, I seem to be in a bit of denial, and I'm acting as if my son is still alive. And that sort of creates a little bit of intrigue amongst the characters. They're not quite sure what to expect of me, since they all know my son has passed away, but I don't seem to be accepting that. And I won't tell you how that ends, but it makes for some interesting drama and really aligns my character, William St. Clair, with the character of Scrooge in A Christmas Carol, and they come to a rather congruent climax, I guess, of transformation. And so, I think it's a well-scripted play. The guy, he did a good job with it.
That unpredictability that you have with St. Clair, that sets up really early that he's in denial. It lends this unpredictability to what's going to happen for this rest of this production. Helps set the stage, if you will.
And it's a, you know, again, it's a unique piece in that it has the Christmas Carol radio play in it, but that's certainly not all it is, not by a long shot. I mean, the Christmas Carol, in fact, isn't even introduced until we're almost 30 pages into the script. So I mean, that tells you something. So, you know, it's certainly a lot more than just a retelling of the Christmas Carol. It's got a modern twist or bent on the character between St. Clair and Scrooge that you just have to see to appreciate the transformation.
And somehow it ends up in Pennsylvania, but, you know, you just have to come see it to figure out how that works.
I appreciate all of y'all coming in. Again, this is, let's see, it's November 30th. It opens on November 30th at the Cary Arts Center, and it only runs for one weekend.
It'll run the evening of Friday, Saturday, and Monday, and then matinees on Saturday and Sunday as well.
Right, and tickets are available right now on caryplayers.org.
Correct.
All right. Thank you, Carol. Is there anything else that anybody wants to say before we send off?
Thank you, Christian.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Yeah, and I'll just add, Christian, we've got a couple more shows coming up this season for Cary Players. We've got in February, we've got Men Always Leave. That'll be performed at the Cary. That's a local playwright, Naima Ince Griffiths, who is wrote that. She's also directing it. And then we have Four Weddings and an Elvis coming up in the spring, directed by Nicola Leffler.
Who we mentioned is in the show. She's playing
Esther. She's in the show. Yes, she sure is. So she'll be directing that one. That'll close out our 16th season with that show.
Excellent. Very good. Well, thank all of you for calling in and joining us this evening.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Christian.
Good night.
Good night. And that seems to be all the time we have for tonight. A special thanks to the creative team behind Cary Player's upcoming production of a 1940s radio Christmas carol. This has been the Cary Playwrights Forum Radio Hour. I'm your host, Christian O'Neill. Good night, and break a leg.